He's the man who knows everything up in the sky. It's Astro David Renicky. Check out the website, davidrenicky.com. David, hello, mate.
You are too kind. Good morning, Bilko.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Well, this has been something that I just can't believe you've talked about here, but it's been hinted at, a space wedding, and we have evidence that... Explain this space wedding. It doesn't involve real people, does it?
Oh, this is crazy, isn't it? It does, actually, but the first space wedding has taken place. We didn't know about this.
Right.
It happened in 2003. Ekaterina Dmitriev married the love of her life. He was 400K.
What?
400K overhead.
Oh, okay.
On the space station. It was the first ever space wedding. And it took place through satellite links. He was at NASA headquarters.
Why didn't the Russians crow about this? I mean, it should have been worldwide news 23 years ago or whatever.
Well, hubby-to-be was cosmonaut Yuri Malenko. He was a video linked down to her, and she was at the center, the NASA center, and she was posed beside, you ready for this?
Yeah.
A life-size cardboard cutout of her new hubby wearing his space suit and
right.
bow tie.
Okay.
Oh. Look, at one point she blew him a kiss and he blew one back. Best man was Edward Liu, one of the astronauts on board. Look, the pair's history is interesting. They met at a party celebrating the first ever manned space flight by Yuri Gagarin. Now, the bride was supposed to have reported to be walked down the aisle. It was the corridor at NASA, one of the NASA corridors, to a David Bowie song. I don't know which one that was.
I reckon it was Space Oddity. Or Starman.
Yeah, as the space station orbited the Earth. So there you go. Ekaterina Dmitriev married the love of her life, cosmonaut, while he was in space, and she was standing next to a cutout.
You know, David, this will be the next reality TV show.
Oh, it could be.
Marry a spaceman, crazy. Marry a cosmonaut. Anyway, have a look at it. One thing that can get us all excited because we can actually see it, the Perseids meteor shower expecting this, and you say fireballs are possible.
Yeah, we've already had a few reports of fireballs. Good to see. They're really balls of rocks that are burning, and they shoot across the sky. They're actually on fire, very bright.
So different from meteors, or are they the same thing?
Meteors, yeah, coming from this meteor shower called the Perseids. Not the best one of the year. But northern hemisphere constellations usually. But we can see it here tomorrow morning, and the morning after that would be the last time. In the northeast horizon, just have a look in the northeast and wait for it. Somewhere between, say, 4 o'clock and maybe sunrise.
Okay, so got to get up really early. So set the alarm and have an early night. Forget the reality TV and actually see some real reality.
Yeah.
So, more details about that on davidrenicky.com. Now, NASA is sick of being behind the eight ball. I mean, SpaceX has been out there in the news thanks to Elon Musk. What's happened? They've joined forces, I hear.
Well, look, I just wonder why this wasn't done before. NASA have been spending a lot of money putting together their SLS space launch system. They're probably going to go ahead with that, but they've joined up. There's a plan they've got. They're joining up with Elon Musk in this new Starship in future missions to Mars and the Moon. Maybe they're hedging their bets. But SpaceX is currently testing a prototype. Now, this spacecraft is called Star Hopper, biggest thing ever built.
Yeah.
It's an early version of a spaceship, super heavy-duty rocket that we used to call the BFR.
Big friendly rocket.
Yeah. So Elon Musk says he can build this at a reduced cost, would reduce the cost of getting into space. And they've successfully demonstrated their ability to do this because he's been launching fairly regularly with his Falcon launch vehicle. And these are reusable, where NASA stuff usually isn't.
Yeah, they throw it out every chance they get.
Yeah, well, Musk is right behind putting a settlement on the Moon and on Mars, more so Mars. So he's saying working with NASA, they can found a permanent settlement on the Red Planet in less than 3 decades.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. But, you know, NASA, I know it's better late than never, but seriously, you're looking like you're trying to remain relevant. That's the unfortunate
thing.
Yeah,
well, they've got no option. It's an expensive business.
Mm.
And continuing to pour money into it, Congress is not going to keep putting money into this. NASA's budget is not all that strong. There's a lot of opposition to it. No one organisation can do what's needed to be done to get to Mars or put a settlement on the moon. It's got to be a joint venture.
Yeah.
And that joint venture is exactly what we talked about some time ago, where major space organisations like NASA and in part to the European Space Agency have got to come in and combine with someone like private enterprise that have got the money, they've got the resources, and can do these things. So there you go. NASA teaming up with Elon Musk. They're also involved with Boeing and Jeff Bezos, but it's a combined effort. I think it's a good idea. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
So we'll just see how it all turns out.
Yeah.
I guess the rule of thumb is watch this space.
Yeah, davidrenicki.com, watch that space. One final thing, David. We know going into space can harm bone density, but there's also the radiation that's always around in space that can actually harm humans. And really, there's no effective way to protect from it all the time, is there?
No, there's not. And it's an issue that needs to be addressed, and they're trying to do that now. There have been experiments done overseas at the California School of Medicine, the university over there. And with mice here, they've exposed mice to low doses of radiation for up to 6 months at a time. Well, that sort of simulates the time you'd be in space heading towards Mars. And they found out that there is temporary learning and memory impairments, anxiety, behaviour problems, which is not good. So there you go. We've got to find ways of reducing
We can't exist in space. We can't set up our colonies. We can't set up...
We don't have the protection of our atmosphere when we go there. So there's really got to be new vehicles. Have got to be shielded properly. You've got to get your people there in one piece. But it does show there is damage. Also, this study did show that 1 in 5 astronauts on a long journey like that would experience anxiety-like behaviour. And 1 in 3 would certainly have higher levels of memory impairment. And they may be struggling with decision-making issues. Now, you don't need that.
No.
When you've got a crew heading towards a place like Mars. You've got no one can help you. You've got no NRMA can come and get you if you break down.
Well, I've been reading Buzz Aldrin's book about his life and times, and he says that you've got to make those split-second decisions, and lack of oxygen can actually make it fatal for crews out on those long journeys. So.
Well, these are things. We've never been here before. It's a new area. It's a brand new field. Space we've never done. We don't know how to. We're learning as we go. And we know that the physiology of the human body doesn't work very well in a weightless condition. We know bone density happens. You lose calcium from your bones. The blood changes a little bit. Your muscles deteriorate. There's a lot of things we need to do. And that's why the space station is up there in part. There's a lot of experiments going on up there to try and, rectify some of these problems. There are issues that we're tackling with now, and I think in time that they will be solved, but it is fairly serious when you look at the fact that there's no protection out in space. It's pervaded by radiation, and we've got to be protective of it.
More at davidrenicki.com. Till next time, David.